Then the prophet Elijah arose like a fire, his word flaring like a torch. It was he who brought famine on them and who decimated them in his zeal. By the word of the Lord, he shut up the heavens. He also three times brought down fire. How glorious you were in your miracles, Elijah. Has anyone reason to boast as you have, rousing a corpse from death, from Sheol by the word of the Most High, dragging kings down to destruction and high dignitaries from their beds, hearing reproof on Sinai and decrees of punishment on Horeb, anointing kings as avengers and prophets to succeed you, taken up in the whirlwind of fire in a chariot with fiery horses, designated in the prophecies of doom to allay God's wrath before the fury breaks, to turn the hearts of fathers towards their children, and to restore the tribes of Jacob. Happy shall they be who see you, and those who have fallen asleep in love, for we too will have life. Elijah was shrouded in the whirlwind, and Elisha was filled with his spirit. Throughout his life, no ruler could shake him, and no one could subdue him. No task was too hard for him, and even in death, his body prophesied. In his lifetime, he performed wonders, and in death, his works were marvelous. And our Gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your prayers do not babble, as the pagans do, for they think that by using many words they will make themselves heard, do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be held holy, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and do not put us to the test, but save us from the evil one. Yes, if you forgive others their failings, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your failings either." And our reflection for today: the intriguing thing about the Lord's Prayer, or what we call the Our Father, is that it is described in two ways in the Gospels. In our reading from Matthew today, Jesus tells the disciples that when they pray, they should pray like this. The Lord's Prayer here is therefore a teaching about how to pray, if you like, a model for praying. In Luke's version, however, Jesus tells the disciples that when they pray, they should say this prayer, that is, the Lord's Prayer. Hence, we can say that the Lord's Prayer is both a prayer and an instruction on how to pray. Now, because Jesus was a Jew and the Hebrew Bible was his scripture, one would expect that he would draw on its great tradition of prayer and its teaching about prayer. And indeed, this is the case. A close look at the Our Father shows that it provides a concise summary or synthesis of the Book of Psalms, or what we call the Psalter. This book of 150 Psalms contains songs of praise which celebrate faith in God as God. It contains psalms of thanksgiving for being saved from threats of various kinds. It contains prayers of petition for the things we human beings need. It contains prayers for forgiveness and cries of lament when a person feels threatened by an overpowering evil. The Lord's Prayer, or Our Father, invokes all these in its own unique way. It begins with praise, "Hallowed be your name." Then thanksgiving for God's salvific purpose. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then there's petition, a typical need being our daily bread. Forgiveness of our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And finally, an appeal to be delivered from evil, that is, when one feels utterly powerless against evil of any kind. So we can see that there is an enormous tradition of prayer enshrined in the Our Father. No doubt one of its teachings or catechetical functions is to prompt us to become more familiar with the Psalter and other examples of prayer, both in the Old and New Testaments. And this leads us to our first reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus. This text parades two of the great prophets of Israel before us, Elijah and Elisha. The author of the book is selective in his presentation of these two prophets, because after all, he wants to celebrate their prophetic power. The eulogies on Elijah and Elisha occur in a part of the book from chapter 44 on that sets out, as the text says, to sing the praises of our ancestors. The praise of Elijah and Elisha prompts us, in our turn, to go and read the stories about them in the books of Kings. When we do so, we find that while they are indeed portrayed doing great work, they are also portrayed as very human beings. Without the prophetic charism, they are as fragile and prone to failure and mistakes as the rest of us. And so Elijah falls apart when threatened by Queen Jezebel, the Phoenician queen, despite having just returned from his great triumph over her prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, with its graphic description of God's power. When Queen Jezebel sends out a hit team, he feels so powerless that he asks God to take his life from him. Instead, what does God do? He gives him further work to do. For his part, Elisha botches the first attempt to raise the son of the great lady of Shunem, and has to follow her back to her house and to prostrate himself over the boy's dead body in prayer before his life returns. But in their fragility and failure, these prophets also provide us with an example to follow in the way they turn to prayer, acknowledging their complete dependence on God and recognizing that their prophetic call was not about their self-aggrandizement, but it was part of God's larger purpose for Israel and all humanity.